breakfast sandwiches and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. An eight-way split for that record-breaking Powerball jackpot. The winners are a group of co-workers at a Nebraska meatpacking plant. CBS News correspondent Lee Frank is in Lincoln.
Powerball winner Chastity Rutschens, a blonde-haired single 29-year-old, says she's not interested in getting married anytime soon while she considers what to do with her $15,500,000.
I just want to make sure that it lasts me the rest of my life so that I don't have to return to work 50 because I'm broke now or something.
Three of the eight meat processing plant workers quit right after finding out they'd won the Powerball jackpot. Lee Frank, CBS News, Lincoln, Nebraska.
An anthrax scare in New York City, apparently accidental. This case involves a man who returned from Africa with untreated animal hides to make drums. Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
The most likely scenario here is that he contracted anthrax in the process of handling these untreated skins.
As many as four other people may have been exposed, but so far none have been infected. The backlash over an Arab company managing American ports is hitting the Middle East. One Arab security analyst calls the reaction Arab phobia. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports that President Bush learned about the port deal, as did most of the rest of the country.
It was from recent reports in the press and not from his aides that President Bush first learned of the port deal. Spokesman Scott McClellan says there was no reason Mr. Bush should have known earlier.
There was no objection raised by any of the departments during the review process or any concerns expressed about potential national security threats, and that's why it didn't rise to the presidential level.
Most members of Congress didn't get a heads up either, and McClellan says that in hindsight, they should have been briefed sooner. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
At the Olympics, the U.S. hockey team has been put on ice. They're out after losing to Finland 4-3. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman's in Torino.
This was a terribly disappointing Olympic tournament for the U.S. team. The Americans began tying lightly regarded Latvia 3-3. It was a sign of things to come. The Americans end up with just one win against Kazakhstan. They lose four games. They have that tie against Latvia. Just a very, very disappointing tournament here in Torino.
In Iraq, there's anger in the city of Samarra, where insurgents posing as police destroyed the dome of one of Shia Islam's holiest shrines. At least 19 people were killed in the violence that followed. As many as 90 Sunni mosques attacked, and police say gunmen also in police uniforms retaliated by killing 11 Sunni prisoners suspected of being insurgents. Quarterback Lamar Owens led the Navy football team to an 8-4 record, including a bowl win, but now he's been charged with sexually assaulting a female midshipman in her dorm room. A Navy spokesman says Owens will still go to class and perform other duties while under investigation. On Wall Street, the Dow finished up 68 points. The Nasdaq was up 20 and a quarter. This is CBS News.
Hi, friends. Heloise here. You know, you're a Citrical gal. Starting out as a female veterinarian in a rural town, Allison's clients didn't always listen to her, but she relied on her inner strength and proved herself. Today, to help keep her bones strong, she relies on Citrical Calcium. It's proven to help prevent osteoporosis. Citrical is a great hint for helping to prevent bone loss. Be sure to visit StandStrong.com. Citrical Calcium, stand strong.
Why do energy drinks make you crash? I'm Dr. James Bragman, host of Prescription for Health. The answer is large amounts of sugar and caffeine. That's why I recommend 5-Hour Energy. It gives you hours of energy without the crash. 5-Hour Energy contains B vitamins, enzymes, and amino acids. Zero sugar and just enough caffeine. So if your energy drink makes you crash, then switch to 5-Hour Energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later.
5-Hour Energy is in the diet section at Walgreens, the pain relief section of CVS and Rite Aid, plus many 7-Eleven and GNC stores.
There's been a ruling in a civil case against three paparazzi who took pictures of Princess Diana as she lay dying after a car crash. CBS's Elaine Cobb.
The Paris Appeals Court found the three photographers breached privacy laws when they took pictures of Princess Diana and her companion in the crash car. The judges clearly accepted the argument that a car is a private space, thus protected from intrusive photographers under French law. The court ordered the men to pay a symbolic €1, around $1.20 among them, in damages to Mohammed Al-Fayed, whose son Dodi was killed instantly in the crash. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
A few weeks ago, the WB and UPN TV networks announced their merger, the shakeout leaving scores of TV stations without a network. As some of those stations are owned by News Corporation, which owns Fox. That company says it'll try to fill the gap with a new network to be called My Network TV, to debut in September. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
Kleenex presents Gold Medal Moments.
His first hockey game? I was so scared. Then he scored the winning goal. And of course, he got a bloody nose during the celebration.
Thank goodness for Kleenex tissue. Capture your child's moments by playing the Kleenex U.S. Olympic Gold Game. Details on specially marked packages or visit usgoldgame.com. You can win thousands of great prizes, including digital cameras.
I get all choked up just thinking about it.
Kleenex tissue, proud supplier of 2006 U.S. Olympic team. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the U.S. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 3506. Kimberly Clark Global Sales, Inc.
For the fans. This is for all of you out there who want to get a little closer to the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. We know you're a fan. And AT&T has put together a way for you to get to know Team USA. You can send personal best wishes and good luck messages to each of your favorite U.S. Olympic team members. Just visit att.com/Team USA and let AT&T deliver your support to the U.S. Olympic athletes in Torino. AT&T, proud sponsor of the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. Introducing the new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. It's amazing what can happen overnight. As I left the air at 6 o'clock last night, it appeared that Michael Morales would be put to death by the death machinery of the state of California. But our wishes were honored. And the execution was delayed for many months. In fact, there will be no more executions until the issue is resolved about how a lethal injection actually works. A modest short-term victory for our side. Let me run down the show for you today. It's going to be a busy one. Lots of voices and lots of room for your calls. Coming up at 5:15, capital punishment attorney Robert Bryan will join us. We'll get his reaction to the suspension of executions at San Quentin, at least temporarily. In our 5 o'clock segment, our weekly visit from Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. We'll get the latest on Scooter Libby's attempts to block his prosecution with what they call graymail. We'll have a conversation with State Senator Deborah Bowen in our 4:30 to 5 o'clock segment about the recent certification of Diebold electronic voting machines here in California. Also, our House counsel, Professor of Law Marjorie Cohn, will join us to talk about the force-feeding of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. I'd call it torture. In our 4 o'clock segment, we leave room for your calls to react to our first-hour guest and to talk about the continuing flap over the ports and the involvement of the nation of Dubai in managing America's ports. And we'll also take your calls reacting to the suspended executions. In our first hour today, we welcome Rabbi Michael Lerner. He has a brand new book which I think is thoughtful and provocative and powerful and inspiring. All those things. It's called The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. And I already know I have more questions than there's time for, but we're going to do our best. And before we introduce the rabbi, I'd like a brief incantation from the Reverend Joan Osborne.
Yeah, God is great.
Thank you, Joan. Joining us this hour is Rabbi Michael Lerner. He's an internationally known social theorist, a theologian, a psychotherapist, the editor of Tikkun magazine, the leader of the Tikkun community, and a man who has offered his advice to many political figures, notably Hillary Rodham Clinton. And his powerful new book is based on his experiences and a great deal of research. It's called The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Michael Lerner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to talk with you again, and I thank you for your detailed work and your thoughtful analysis in this book. Tell us a little bit about what drove you to present these views and what really is a blueprint for the future of a party that resembles the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, after the last election, I heard the same response from people in the liberal and progressive world that I had been hearing for really the last 20 years of, why are we losing these elections? And the answer was always, well, the American people are just stupid, or racist, sexist, or homophobic, or some variant that never got to the level of, what are we doing wrong, or what might we be missing? And I had been doing research on the psychodynamics of American society, trying to understand why people are moving to the right. And in the work that I did with my colleagues at the Institute for Labor and Mental Health, we studied over 10,000 middle-income working people who were moving to the right politically. I'm not talking about the hardcore right. I'm talking about people who were Democrats who began to move to the right. And they... and what we heard from them was that there was a spiritual crisis in their lives, and that the Republicans were speaking to it and the Democrats were not. And but when you spoke to my friends and everybody else who you heard talking about the elections, all you heard was this put down of the American public, as though they were all just stupid and all just or either stupid or evil, really. And no willingness to ask, what are they saying about their own lives and their own experiences that lead them in that direction? So I thought it was very important to write this book, The Left Hand of God, to try to help progressives and liberals understand that there is something that we could do different, would make a difference.
In a moment, I'd like to define a couple of terms, but let me just lift a paragraph here from your introduction to set a context. To counter the growth of the religious right, we need to build a movement that offers a spiritual critique of the technocratic and bottom-line consciousness of the capitalist world, and that at the same time links this critique to a left hand of God vision of possibility. Only by harnessing this repressed but powerful desire for loving connection, kindness, generosity, awe and wonder at the universe, and joyous celebration, and by connecting this desire to a movement that seeks to remake every aspect of our world, can we effectively challenge the powerful and seductive forces of selfishness and materialism and their champions in corporations, government, and media. To put this in concrete political terms, the Democratic Party, or whatever party you imagine, could be a vehicle for achieving the kind of world you'd like to see, but to do so, it must embody this philosophy for renewed spiritual consciousness. Now, later in the hour, Michael Lerner, I'll ask you to lay out a summary of the covenants that you propose that are part of what I would call your blueprint for a shift to left-hand consciousness and political activism. Let's start by defining your idea of left-hand and right-hand of God.
Well, the right-hand of God, it says in the Bible, when the slaves have been freed from Egypt, and Miriam sings a song to God and says, "Your right hand, God, your right hand is filled with power." And the right hand consciousness is a consciousness that says the world is a fundamentally scary place, and the only way we can get safety and security is through domination and control of other people. Because if we don't dominate them, they will dominate us, and we need to protect ourselves. And the way to do that is to get the jump on them, because they are seeking to get the jump on us. The left hand of God consciousness is one that says that there is a possibility of building a world based on love, kindness, and generosity. And all of us have both voices in our head almost all the time, so it's no surprise that those who heard God's voice throughout history sometimes heard it as a voice of the right hand of God and sometimes heard it through the framework of the left hand of God. But it's not only religions that have this right hand consciousness and left hand consciousness. And all of our sacred texts are like this, whether it's religious sacred texts or whether it's the texts of Marxism or psychoanalysis or feminism. You always get some people who are hearing the inspiration through the framework of fear and domination and the need to protect oneself from the destructive other, and others who hear that same those same insights much more through the framework of love and kindness and generosity. And what I've said about the contemporary period is that the right hand of consciousness is way out of whack with the it's dominating everything, and the left hand consciousness is in the decline, and we need to rebalance between these two. And so the left hand of God consciousness is a way of building up the left hand and trying to rebalance our society and rebalance our politics.
And should the left hand dominate, or do we want to be ambidextrous?
Well, you see, the thing about the right hand consciousness when it comes out of the biblical tradition is that it tells people that there's this force in the universe that makes it possible to overcome all the forms of oppression. So the right hand of God consciousness that exists in the Bible is really something that is empowering for the poor and the oppressed. The irony of the contemporary period is that the political right made an alliance with a religious right that took this very empowering notion of that when you can't figure out any other way to overcome your oppression, then believe that there's a force in the universe that's on your side that will make it possible, this force, the God force of the universe. But unfortunately, what happened with the religious right is that they've taken this consciousness and given it to the oppressors, not to the oppressed, so that the largest, the most powerful force in all of human history, the United States, and its most wealthy elites now use the voice of a religious right and that right-hand consciousness as a way of validating their legitimacy in dominating and oppressing the poor and the powerless. So mm-hmm. It's a total inversion of what the right hand, what was good about the right hand consciousness in the Bible, and a total misuse of religion for the sake of domination.
In our next segment with Rabbi Michael Lerner, we'll talk about the landscape today, the real world, how the Christian right and the right political right have aligned, and how they persuade average Americans to vote against their basic economic and other self-interests. We'll pick up there as we continue. Your calls are welcome for Rabbi Michael Lerner. On the Central Coast, call me at 831-899-5792. From Eureka or elsewhere, it's toll-free. 1-888-579-2540. Email, it's peter at krxa540.com. We'll continue in just a moment. It's 317 now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. We're talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner.
The country I come from is called New Orleans. I was raised and brought up.
Yes, the land that we live in has God on our side. That's a Bob Dylan song. It was remade by a San Francisco band in the 80s called Wire Train. And it is a very interesting thought that's very actively under consideration these days by many people. We're talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner. The book is called The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. And Michael Lerner, just before the break, you defined for us your sense of left hand of God, right hand of God. And do these roughly parallel the left-right political dialectic in America today?
Well, not always, because the I've been at demonstrations against the war, particularly those led by a group called International Answer,
yeah,
that are that really feel very much like the right hand of God consciousness, in the sense that they're filled with anger and not with love, and they are so oriented towards domination and power that I sometimes get the feeling that what the demonstration is about is to root for the other side, not to root for peace, but to root for somebody else to militarily win the war or win the world. There are times when the left uses fear as its primary motivation. That is not what the right hand of God is about. The right hand of God is using hope and love and generosity. So, and similarly, there have been times when I've been to right-wing churches where I've heard a spiritual vision that is more love-oriented. So these don't always map in a one-to-one way onto left, right, and politics.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I find very difficult these days is when people who wrap themselves in religion lie or mislead. And the examples are too numerous. I don't want to take the time to cite them right now. But what do we do when the President of the United States, for example, wraps himself in God talk and then proceeds to lie and mislead us into an immoral war and compound those lies with more untruths about the spying program and many other issues?
Well, you know, I don't blame anybody who gets angry at that kind of distortion and many other levels of distortion that people have used religion for. And, you know, there are a lot of people who in the liberal and progressive world who are angry at all religion because of the misuse of religion in not only to lie, but also for racism, for sexism, for homophobia, so on. So I understand the anger that people have at religion when it's used in that way. But, you know, a lot of people in this country dismiss all left ideas because they look at the left as identified with the Stalinist Russia or a communist China or those states that were using left-wing ideology and language for oppression. Now, what I have to say about that is, a lot of screwed-up people can take a very beautiful set of core ideas and then use them and manipulate them to achieve ends that are really disgusting and oppressive. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily make me want to reject the core vision that's there. Instead, what makes me want to say, let's separate the dirty water from the baby that would happen to be, was bathing in it.
Yes, indeed. In your book, which is informed by many verbatim comments that I believe came from the research you cited at the Institute of Labor and Mental Health.
Yes, some 10,000 middle-income working people that I was interviewing.
You present comments that struck me as quite consistent and almost in harmony with the commentary provided by Thomas Frank in the book What's the Matter with Kansas, where he described the evolution of Kansas politically from the populist liberal state that it was up through the 1970s, and then the Reagan Revolution really created a lot of converts there. And what he points out is the dichotomy of people who will vote against their basic self-interest. And he argues that the Republican right dangles an end to abortion rights and then delivers tax cuts and a war in Iraq. Talk a little bit about your sense of why so many Americans seem to be drawn to the Republican Party these days, not out of self-interest, but out of a sense of trying to resolve what you refer to as this ongoing spiritual crisis.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and see, I found something quite different than Frank. In other words, he thinks that it's just that they're so angry about abortion or so angry about gays that they can be manipulated. But what I found was that people were angry about something else that was very, very legitimate, namely that they're surrounded by an ethos of selfishness and materialism, that everybody they know seems to be looking out for number one. It turns out that maybe your husband or wife even, because everybody spends all day in the world of work in which the bottom line is maximize money and power, and you learn that you have to look at other people from the standpoint of what can you get from them, because they're going to look at you from the same standpoint of can they you be of use to them. It's this utilitarian framework. It's the way that people are constantly manipulating each other for their own self-advantage, and on the one hand. And on the other hand, the desperate desire of people to have some framework of meaning and purpose to their lives, which and to contribute to something of higher good. Which...
Rabbi, let me stop you there because we're up against a break, and I'll let you pick up and complete that thought after the break. We'll take your calls, too, at 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. We're talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner. The book is The Left Hand of God, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Dr. Joan Kenley invites you to join the conversation this Saturday at 3 here on KRXA 540. She's going to share just what makes a great conversation, tips you can use right away. Joan and her guests will talk about listening with your body, mind, heart, and soul. Learn how good conversations avoid blame and judgment. Find out how you can stay real and authentic even in difficult conversations. Have you ever wondered how your values and beliefs shape what you say? Where do great conversations happen? What do music and conversation have in common? And a really big question, can the world be changed by conversations that matter? You'll hear personal stories and great information from Joan's impressive guests, Juanita Brown, Tom Hurley, and Paul Andrews. Get more information and hear previous shows at joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. It's 3:33. We're talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner, his new book, The Left Hand of God. I think it's a must-read for progressives.
Set it.
If you'd like to talk with Rabbi Michael Lerner, lines are open for you at 831-899-5792. You can call me toll-free also at 1-888-579-2540. And Rabbi Lerner, I wanted to give you the opportunity to complete your thought. We can't always stop these freight train commercial breaks as they roll through. And you were in the middle of an interesting response about the question I posed to you about the difference between your analysis of why some Americans vote against what we perceive to be their obvious self-interest and the way that Thomas Frank posed it in his book, What's the Matter with Kansas? So please proceed.
Yeah, well, I mean, the basic thing is this, is do you start from the assumption that the people who don't agree with you are screwed up, or do you start from the assumption that there may be something legitimate in people who disagree with you? And I came to the conclusion, really, that the second methodology is so much better, because then you're able to listen to people and ask, what's the core part of what you're saying that is true, even if your conclusion is something that I abhor? And that's what I did in listening to these people moving to the right. I didn't let their conclusions stop me. I wanted to find out what was motivating them and what could be a rational motivation there. And what I found was that there was a tremendous spiritual crisis in people's lives, that they felt surrounded by selfishness and materialism, everybody looking out for number one on the one hand. And on the other hand, they also found they felt really upset about the fact that their lives were, particularly in the world of work, they couldn't see how it connected to anything of ultimate meaning. And this was a surprise at first, because I, like so many other people in the liberal world, had come to believe that we liberals or progressives or academics or intellectuals, we have higher needs. But that ordinary Americans, they only have material needs. And I came, in the course of this study, came to realize what an elitist set of assumptions that is. It was summed up by Carville, who said, James Carville of the Clinton administration, who said, it's the economy, stupid. You know, that's all that people care about. Imagine his surprise in 2000 when the economy was never doing better and the Clintons had done a fantastic job of creating an expanding economy, and people turned the Democrats out of office. So it's not just the economy. Yes, economics are important, but they are not the whole of it. And so you listen to people and hear what moves them, and what moves them is a desire for a framework of meaning and purpose in their life, and for not being surrounded by people who always treat them like objects and just look at them from the standpoint of what you can get from them. And this hunger for meaning and purpose and for being treated as embodiments of the sacred and not just as people who might satisfy your needs, that hunger was being addressed by the right, and it was not being addressed by the left.
And acknowledging your point, I still have trouble accepting that this spiritual crisis is so broadly felt, and I feel that there's so much pandering that it really amps it up. And whether we're talking about the recent war on Christmas, no casualties, thank God, the homophobic undercurrents that have been promoted by the activist and religious right, and of course they rail against activist judges who support same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, but they have no problem with activist judges who fixed the election in 2000. And I just have a hard time believing that it is deep and so widely felt, and I feel like so much of it is amped up by Fox News and by pandering politicians of both parties.
Well, you're also right. In other words, you see, what I'm saying is that there is a real problem that then allows the right to manipulate it in very destructive ways, and that we need a progressive movement that can address the real problem in a progressive way. But you can't get that if you don't recognize that there's a real problem. In other words, too often what the left does is to conflate or identify this problem with the right solution. And so since they don't see that there's a real problem, they give the whole spiritual realm over to the right to be able to manipulate.
Let me offer two recent examples, the Schiavo case and the intelligent design issue. And a brief citation from Judge John E. Jones III in Pennsylvania, who said, "The overwhelming evidence at trial established that intelligent design is a religious view, a mere relabeling of creationism, and not a scientific theory. Yet the left has a very hard time countering the momentum that the right has on this issue. And you know, it to me, it's total hokum.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree that the theories that the right is trying, that religious right people are trying to put forward on evolution have been wildly distorted. But you see, what they're, I mean, let's go to the Schiavo case or to the whole issue of abortion. Again, it's a question of trying to understand what it is that's going on there. And for example, in my research, what we found was that the issue, the reason why abortion has such a charge for people is that many of these people in their childhoods, they themselves felt defenseless. They were in patriarchal families. They were in families where nobody stood up for them. Nobody really noticed who they were. They were overwhelmed by patriarchal authority. And then they lived in a world in which they grew up into a world in which they are never really recognized, never really treated as though they matter. But because we live in a society in which there is an ethos that says this is a meritocracy, you make it if you really deserve it, people blame themselves for all this. And then they see that they get with this baby thing, they project onto the fetus that innocent little kid that they actually were, that nobody has ever stood up for. And they don't have the ability to stand up for themselves, so they project onto the fetus this desire to have somebody stand up for the person that they intuitively feel they were, the one that nobody ever really cared for, the one that nobody defended, the one that nobody has ever really realized deserves anything. And they can't claim that for themselves. They don't feel the right to do that, but they can at least do it for a fetus that hasn't been born yet, hasn't been stuck with the vision that they've been deformed by their families or by the society or by original sin or sex. There's nothing that this fetus could have done wrong, so at least I can stand up for the fetus. So you see, it's a displacement of a desire for somebody to defend them that nobody ever did. When you start to get to that, you see that these people are not just crazies, they are people who have been wounded. And when you recognize the right as people who have been wounded, and that's why they end up with very distorted visions of the world, then you don't react to them just with anger. You start to try to figure out a way to speak to their pain, to move them to the left.
But how do we separate a phony sense of victimization from the real pain that you just described?
Well, that's the central issue, I think, in changing American politics, that we have to recognize that there is real pain in people's lives, but that nobody has been speaking to it. And so it's so easy then, when people are feeling a generalized pain, for somebody to come along and say, oh, you know what, it's because of the blacks, the gays, the abortion mills, the this, the that, the other. We have to provide a deeper understanding for people, a deeper analysis. And that's what the women's movement did when it came to sexism. So many women were blaming themselves for not making enough money in the world of work or for being treated poorly by their husbands or their boyfriends. And what happened was is the women's movement comes along and says, no, this isn't about that. It's really not your fault. There's a larger structure here that needs to be changed. Well, there is a larger structure in regard to what I'm talking about. There is a structure of selfishness and materialism. It's rooted in the capitalist marketplace. Mm-hmm. And the left would be so much more powerful if, instead of denying the spiritual crisis, it could acknowledge that spiritual crisis but explain to people that it has to do with the very system that the religious right supports.
Let me read another quote from, again, the introduction of The Left Hand of God. Consider the situation facing the Democrats. The real choice they face is either to remain the minor league champions of the right hand of God, I refer to that as the number two corporate party,
right.
A path that usually leads them to defeat, because people who are seeking champions of the right hand of God usually find the Republicans a more authentic representative, or to claim the left hand of God and face up to all the ridicule that a cynical corporate what is that? Corporate guided, I'm sorry, page change, media machine will heap upon them. Imagine how much stronger they would be if they could count on the public voice of a progressive, interfaith, religious, and spiritual movement that was actively challenging the cynical realists and apologists for militarism. I want to sneak in a call here before our next break. Okay. Dave, thanks for calling. You're on with Peter B. and Rabbi Michael Lerner.
Hey, Rabbi Michael, I suppose you must be confronted with the logic that I will hear often, because if one truly believes that there is a higher power that is caring and capable of intervening, how does that power kick back and allow the kind of goons we have claiming to be of such superior morality, the true believers, to be devastating a great country like this one? How do we explain that? See, I ask the question because I truly believe the burden is on us to clean up this mess. People are going to have to do it. You do not prevail upon a force that is not showing the slightest concern to intervene. That I don't know if I'm asking this clearly, but...
Maybe, could you just restate it slightly? So I'm not sure I fully got it.
Yeah, he asked you to restate it. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I'm asking if there is a higher power that's capable of intervening, a higher power that cares, how does that higher power kick back with his feet on the desk and allow what is happening to this country to happen right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I want to say is that, by the way, that the network of spiritual progressives, which I'm creating and the book sort of provides the foundation for, is not just for people who believe in a God or a supreme being, but also for spiritual people who are not religious, for people who don't believe in God, but do recognize that there is a spiritual dimension to human reality, and that spiritual needs don't require there being a God in the universe. Now, I am a religious person who does believe in God, but I don't believe in God as a big man in heaven who sometimes intervenes and sometimes doesn't. We've had a problem with this for the last several thousand years of in religious traditions, because we're always wondering, why didn't God intervene here or there or the other place? So I think that in many of the religious and spiritual traditions have evolved in ways that see God more as a force of healing and transformation in the universe that has communicated in some way to human beings a vision of what the world could be, and then has given human beings the freedom to act on that vision. And, you know, so I have a child, and there are a lot of times when I want to intervene and save him from messes that he's created, but I know that he's never going to grow up to be, when he was younger, he could never grow up to be who he needed to be if he had an intervening father all the time who was saving him from his messes. So I guess my answer is that I can't really accept the vision of God that you're talking about.
Dave, I wish we had more time. I'm up against a break. Thanks for a good question today. We'll continue in just a moment with Rabbi Michael Lerner. His book, The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. If you want to join us, 831-899-5792, toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home
into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Do you care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show, Labor Matters, as we discuss these important issues.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes away from 4 o'clock. Open lines in the next 45 minutes, so if you'd like to join us, you can talk with Rabbi Lerner until 4 o'clock, and then we'll be continuing to take your calls from 4 to 4:30. 899-5792 for the Central Coast, 888-579-2540, toll free. Once again, the book is The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. And during the break, Rabbi Lerner agreed to return next week because there's much more. I have many bent pages and sticky notes and underlined portions of the book that I would like to get to. And in particular, next week I'd like to talk about the covenants you propose and what I describe as a blueprint for progressives to take back our country from the religious right. And I think there's some very powerful ideas for people to chew on. Before we go to more calls, Rabbi Lerner, I wanted to ask you to describe the term dispensationalism and what it means to this struggle between the left-hand and right-hand politicos on the ground today.
Okay, now the dispensationalists are not my strong point in the sense that these are not views that resonate to, but they are views of people who believe that there is a an ultimate second coming right away, and that that second coming is going to involve the destruction of all those who don't believe in Jesus as the Savior.
The Left Behind series is the icon for that.
Yes. So one of the things that I do write about is the craziness of some groups in the Jewish world who have made alliance with these extreme right-wing religious people who are dispensationalists and who think that they want to support Israel because they think that Israel is going to engage in eventually in a war, perhaps a nuclear war in the Middle East that will be the war predicted in the Bible, and that once Israel does that, then Jesus will come back and force all the Jews. Either Jews will be forced to convert or to eternal hell. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I speak about this to some of these pro Sharon types or pro occupation types in the Jewish world, they say, "Yeah, you know, we're not much worried about that. We're not much worried about, you know, we'll get their political support until Jesus comes back, and then we'll worry about."
And how different is that from the fundamentalist Muslims who support jihad and believe that martyrdom is a high calling? You know, aren't we trapped between these fundamentalist extremists?
Yes, I think there are a lot of fundamentalist extremists. Although I must say that the particular thing that's going on now with these cartoons particularly amuses me about when I hear these talks from right-wingers in the United States saying, oh, it's a clash of civilizations between two sets of values. But we live in a country where our religious symbol, the flag, is people get sent to jail for burning the flag or for not treating the flag correctly. Our icons are just as sacred, and the force of law is set up there to protect it from people who are angry at the government and use that symbol as a way to challenge the governmental policies. So, you know, everybody's got their sacred cows. And,
All right, I want to squeeze in some calls. The switchboard is full. We'll do our best here. Xavier in Santa Cruz, you're next. Thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rabbi Lerner.
Well, hi, Peter. Hi, Rabbi Lerner.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to, you mentioned a little bit ago about, I don't recall exactly if you referred to them as the right wing or conservatives, but the group of people who are basically projecting their innocence onto the unborn.
Yes.
And I wanted to extend that a little bit. My latest crusade has to do with, I consider myself to be fairly politically left, but one of the things that concerns me about the left is that they tend not to bring along white working class, not just white, but working class men along and include them in things. And
yep.
You'll see things like you'll hear a news story and they'll talk about people being killed in another country, and they'll talk about how many women and children were killed, and the implication is that women are innocent and along with children. And I think that's very damaging to men.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, I suggest that you go to our website, www.spiritualprogressives.org, and read the Q&A about our organization, the Network of Spiritual Progressives, because I take this point up explicitly. And in fact, one of the things I say is that in our organization, we do not want to accept the kind of dissing of men that often happens in some circles in the left. I'm a very strong supporter of the women's movement and of the need to overcome sexism and homophobia in this society, but I'm not in favor of a kind of culture that puts men down and makes them feel like they are, that there's something fundamentally wrong with them because they happen to have a penis.
Yeah,
book, I try to explain this in much greater detail. I hope you'll read The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right.
Xavier, I'm sorry, but let me stop you there because I want to squeeze in another caller and I only have 2 minutes. Billy in Capitola, you're next for Rabbi Lerner. Go ahead.
Well, hi there.
Hi, Billy. Go right ahead.
By the way, Peter, that's an earworm, that What If God Was One of Us. It's a great song, but I can't get out.
Sorry.
Rabbi Lerner, it's great synchronicity that you showed up with this today, because this is what I wanted to call originally about, and actually we'll need to continue this into the next hour, but let me respond to you first. You see, the problem that I'm the angry guy that you were talking about. I'm the guy who knows that there is no God. And therefore, when I want to get upset, I get upset at, for example, I like to blame the Christians for everything. And yet you put it perfectly when you talk about the right hand and the left hand. Because, in fact, there's a certain kind of Christian that's got a hold of my government. Not all the Christians. Just one, as you put out, with this fascist right hand view.
Yes.
But the fact is that maybe it's more important not that every child get born, but that every born child get fed, get health care. Maybe that's the real Christian thing to do. That's the only way I can see that I can speak to the red state.
I think you're entirely right. And one of the things I tried to do in this book is to explain how to do that, how to reach out in that way. But what needs to happen also is for the left to get over its religiophobia and to stop making people who are religious or spiritual feel that they are so unwelcome in the left, because so many of those people actually agree with very many specific programs, including providing adequate care and support for the people who are living. But they feel so unwelcome in the left because they feel that they are treated as though they are essentially less developed intellectually or psychologically.
Aren't they?
Pardon me?
Aren't they, in fact, less developed?
No, there are many people who are not.
And emotionally?
Okay, Billy, I need to stop you there. I'll put you on hold and we can continue after the top of the hour. A final comment from Michael Lerner.
Well, I just want to say that I very much appreciate this opportunity to speak to your constituency here and to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world is more complex And we need to recognize that there is a real spiritual dimension to human need, that we can address it, and that, in fact, the most radical critique of this society would be based on the challenge to the materialism and selfishness generated by the marketplace.
Got to stop now. We'll talk again next week. Rabbi Michael Lerner on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For 8 meat plant workers, lottery dreams come true.
I've been retired for about 4 days now.
Do some popular supplements really help with arthritis? This is Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
It's still a blur, and we're still thinking we're going to wake up from a dream or something, and it's not all true.
Powerball lottery officials confirm it is true. Chastity Rutgens and 7 co-workers came forward in Lincoln, Nebraska today to claim the biggest jackpot in American history. CBS News correspondent Lee Frank was there.
Meat plant workers who pooled their money many times to buy Powerball tickets often talked about their dreams, says new multimillionaire Michael Terpstra.
Oh, I'm going to buy an island. You know, I'm going to buy an airplane. Reality? See, not a fan of flying. Don't really like water. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Taking care of family members is mentioned by all the Powerball winners, each receiving $15,500,000 after taxes. Lee Frank, CBS News, Lincoln, Nebraska.
The winners include 2 immigrants from Vietnam and 1 from Congo. Now this.
For the fans. This is for all of you out there who want to get a little closer to the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. We know you're a fan, and AT&T has put together a way for you to get to know Team USA. You can send personal best wishes and good luck messages to each of your favorite U.S. Olympic team members. Just visit att.com/teamusa and let AT&T deliver your support to the U.S. Olympic athletes in Torino. AT&T, proud sponsor of the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. Introducing the new AT&T. Your world, delivered.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you can do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life, Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
A high-stakes battle shaping up over the plan to sell control of 6 major U.S. ports to a state-owned company in the United Arab Emirates. As cabinet secretaries are deployed to say the deal would not affect security and killing it now would send a terrible message to the Arab world, the White House admits it wasn't prepared for the vehement opposition.
It was only in the last few days that President Bush learned of the port deal from the press, the same for most members of Congress. In a rare admission, spokesman Scott McClellan says that might have been a mistake.
I mean, in hindsight, when you look at this and the coverage that it's received and the false impression that it's left with some, we probably should have briefed members of Congress about it sooner.
McClellan says the president went back to every cabinet secretary whose department approved the deal, and each said they were comfortable with it. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The top American executive at Dubai Port says the company's doing its best to persuade opponents that they jump the gun. The firm has hired former Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole as a lobbyist. The U.S. ambassador in Iraq says the terrorists are trying to start a civil war. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier reports on the violent backlash today after the Golden Mosque, a Shiite holy shrine, was blown up.
Angry mobs attacked Sunni Muslim targets across the country.
Many blame Sunni militants still loyal to Saddam for destroying the dome. In the capital, more than 100 Sunni mosques were attacked, according to the Muslim Scholars Association, and at least three Sunni sheikhs were killed. Armed militia of firebrand Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr patrolled Baghdad's neighborhoods. Sadr promised to track down those responsible if the government does not.
The government is urging calm. Millions of Americans buy dietary supplements for arthritis. Are they worth the expense? CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports there's
controversy, as a New England Journal of Medicine study finds glucosamine and chondroitin alone or in combination don't really reduce arthritis pain. University of Utah researcher Daniel Clegg says a combined treatment might help patients with moderate to severe pain, but that's not definite.
In certain cases, patients may wish to consider using the supplements, but I think it should be a carefully weighed decision with their physician.
A leading proponent of these supplements, Dr. Jason Theodosakis, calls the findings flawed.
The problem with the study was the majority of the subjects had very little pain. Those aren't people that we give drugs to anyway.
He says people with more pain clearly benefit and that glucosamine and chondroitin are safe and inexpensive. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
After a New York City man was diagnosed with inhalation anthrax, officials hastened to reassure the public that there's no evidence of terrorism. The man, a drum maker who imports untreated animal skins from Africa, was apparently exposed by accident. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
For the fans. This is for all of you out there who want to get a little closer to the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. We know you're a fan, and AT&T has put together a way for you to get to know Team USA. You can send personal best wishes and good luck messages to each of your favorite U.S. Olympic team members. Just visit att.com/teamusa and let AT&T deliver your support to the U.S. Olympic athletes in Torino. AT&T, proud sponsor of the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. Introducing the new AT&T, your world delivered.
Kleenex presents Gold Medal Moments.
His first hockey game? I was so scared. Then he scored the winning goal. And of course, we got a bloody nose during the celebration.
Thank goodness for Kleenex Tissue. Capture your child's moments by playing the Kleenex U.S. Olympic Gold Game. Details on specially marked packages or visit usgoldgame.com. You can win thousands of great prizes, including digital cameras.
I get all choked up just thinking about it.
Kleenex Tissue, proud supplier of 2006 U.S. Olympic Team. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the U.S. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 3506. Kimberly Clark Global Sales, Inc.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I found Michael Lerner's comments very interesting and provocative. I also thought Billy's call was excellent. We're going to pick back up with him in just a moment. But anticipating strong reaction to Rabbi Michael Lerner and the Left Hand of God, his new book, we declined to schedule a guest during this half hour. That leaves lots of room for your calls. So if you'd like to react, you want to share a comment, get on the line right now, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. You can also call us from Eureka, or if you're listening online, wherever you might be, it's toll-free anywhere in the continental U.S., 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And before we continue with your calls, I just want to say you can comment on any issue that you care to during this half hour, and we'll be taking more calls in our 5 o'clock segment. We're also going to be joined later this hour by Marjorie Cohn. She is the professor of constitutional law at San Diego's Thomas Jefferson School of Law, and she'll update us on the scene at Guantanamo Bay where they are force-feeding detainees who have been on a hunger strike. And it is a cruel procedure. We'll describe it for you. In fact, it reminds me of the way that ducks and geese are force-fed in order to produce foie gras, which is now, it's going to become illegal in California under a new law. Also later this hour, State Senator Deborah Bowen will check in from Sacramento on last Friday afternoon's almost secret certification of Diebold electronic voting machines for this June's primary here in California. And we have a comment on tape from Secretary of State Bruce McPherson that we'll share with you, too. And next hour, Larissa Alexandrovna, in her weekly visit, she'll update the Libby prosecution. And we're also going to talk with criminal defense attorney Robert Bryan, who works exclusively on death penalty cases, about the suspension of executions at San Quentin, effective last night before the scheduled execution of Michael Morales. And one other issue I'd like to throw out here just briefly is that largely encouraged by the nominations and confirmations of the two new justices to the Supreme Court, Roberts and Alito. The legislature in South Dakota is very close to passing an almost complete ban on abortion in that state. Why? Well, because the timing is right. That's right. The anti-abortion folks believe that this is the right time to proceed, and all they're asking for is some liberals who will file a lawsuit opposing the law that they pass so they can run it up to the now-friendly Supreme Court. That's the game plan. Please keep it in mind. Billy, thanks for holding on through the news, and welcome back to the program.
Peter B.
Hi, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
I appreciate your call, and I share some of your views about the way God is used in our society, and that one of the things I want to take up with Rabbi Lerner when he returns next week is the whole issue of freedom from religion and how progressives balance that with what I do think is at least a political need to address some of the concerns of people who are spiritual and or religious and who would like to embrace the progressive values, but for various reasons are drawn to the Republicans in the current incarnation.
And that's the part where it breaks down, because he's great. The Lerner's great.
Oh, yeah, he's a fascinating man. I love talking with him.
And the way to look at this theme is great, too. And the problem is it breaks down when you get down to real life and real people, and I'm a good example of that, and we'll talk about that now. You see, before the Christians took over the country, when they were just a religion, they weren't political.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter to me that they were wrong. You know, just like everybody who believes in God is wrong, but that's okay. You know, you can have the wrong idea of how the universe is run if you're not trying to run the universe yourself.
Okay.
Now, well, yeah.
That's
you know,
fair.
Yeah, yeah. So, but now what happened is they got what they wanted. The Christians did take over. The Christian right took over the Republican Party, and the Republican Party took over the country. So now they're running things. Let's look at the results. We've never been more Christian brother to brother to each other. We all love each other. Everybody loves us. No, that isn't how it is. We've never been more separated.
Yeah.
We're at war. We're killing people. That's not that Christian. But as it turns out, that it, you know, it is more not Christian or not Christian. It's sort of that left-hand, right-hand thing that Lerner's talking about. But here's the problem. If you still can support Bush, you see, if you're still so blind that you don't see this, that, you know, maybe it's more important to feed a child than to kill a child. That's the final thing. It's because this is, you know, the two things you work on, this thing about counting the votes right,
mm-hmm.
and this thing about getting the Christians to be able to vote, you know, with the left, this is it. This is what it's going to take to change things. So you're right on it. But look at the problem we face.
Oh, yeah. It is significant. And, most important to me, this is something I've said before, so I'll try to recap it briefly, is that we see so many people who I would consider guilty of religiosity who support the war in Iraq
on delay.
And support capital punishment and grisly executions at San Quentin. But they have no interest in resolving the true issues of classism, racism, and sexism that were most recently highlighted by Hurricane Katrina, but that is hardly, the only example. And so the contradictions are many, and they are deep. And how we resolve those with any kind of a coherent approach that does acknowledge the spiritual crisis that he described and the fact that people feel that, even if you and I, Billy, feel that it's hugely hyped and pandered to inflate it, that is, I think, one of the significant challenges of our time.
What we need to do is ask our religious friends to have their left-hand face more available. For us to have to see endlessly representing Christians, a Falwell and a Robertson, our media's not serving us well when they do that to us, because there is the side of the Christians. And, you know, by the way, we talk about Christians here because that's what we're dealing with. Islam if we were living in one of those countries. Whoever the dominant religion is that sort of says, you know, there's more of us, so you need to do things our way, That need, that is what we need to speak to. It's not important for you to dominate us. That's what Islam is trying to do now. They don't want us to get along with us. They really want us to submit. And that's what the right wing is asking us to do. And that's impossible.
Yeah, I share that. I will not submit. And it's difficult because I, you know, relative to these cartoons, I'm not interested in pouring gasoline on that fire. I'm not interested in trying to offend Muslims who are already offended. But come on, the way that, you know, Iraqis, I don't know exactly who it was, but they blew up that mosque and they killed three imams yesterday. That is a much more significant issue. That's worth marching in the streets over. You might even torch an embassy for that if there were an embassy responsible. But cartoons? Give me a break. Thank you very much.
And in America, our Christian president got us into a war, which is really now, we started a civil war that we're in the middle of. This is going to be truly horrible. And instead of curing cancer with the billions we spent, this is what we did.
Thanks, Billy. I want to switch now to Gregory in Gilroy. Thanks for holding on, Gregory. You're on the air.
Hi. I really liked a lot of things that both you and Billy were talking about, and Rabbi Lerner as well. There were a couple of points that I wanted to bring up and just run them past you. First, I think it's really important that what he said, that you could divorce spirituality from religion. That, you know, there may be a spiritual crisis, and maybe it's because people feel that they have to belong to some kind of a religion in order to be spiritually alive. And, you know, I think the left, if we really got wind of how to handle this, we could say in schools, well, it makes sense to talk about spirituality. It does not make sense to talk about religion because we have a separation between religion and politics, and we don't talk about religion in schools. But if we can get to the place where we can scientifically validate that there is something, a part of our being that can't be described as physiological or metabolic, etc., I think we could talk about, you know, spirituality like team spirit only much more seriously in a way that could appeal to lots of people who don't find that what they get out of churches to be all that spiritual.
I think you make an interesting point. As I heard you, you know, one of the big challenges or deficits that we face is that on the left, and I believe this to be true, on the left, we don't have what it takes to pander to people and to falsely or insincerely try to sell them on the concept that you just described. And our opposition has no such difficulty.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, like, there are strategy sessions, very marshaled, like having an effect is the primary reason for getting involved, having a victory, winning.
Gregory, I can tell you have more to say. If you don't mind holding through another break, I need to take the break or I'll mess everything up.
Okay.
So stay with us and we'll come back and hear more from you. And there's room for you. I mean you, not Gregory. I'm talking to you. Give us a call. Let me know what you think about these issues, about the port questions, or about the suspension of executions at San Quentin. 831-899-5792. Local call on the Central Coast or toll free from anywhere. 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. 417 now. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. Now it's 421. Metro Diane is on the case, well, because she didn't win the Powerball. How's traffic moving, Diane?
Actually, it's a smooth commute so far this afternoon. Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, we have no new stalls or accidents to report. And checking the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions, stall and accident free. You know, if you can, probably just go ahead and leave work early. It's a good time to go.
All right. Are there any cows in the road?
We had some horses earlier, but they've been shuffled on out of the way.
Oh, good. I'm really relieved to hear that. And who brought us this fabulous non-traffic report?
This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
Well, create some accidents and we'll check back in half an hour.
I'll do my best.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm grateful. That makes me, Peter B., your humble host. We're talking with you about the comments of Rabbi Michael Lerner. He joined us last hour. His new book is called The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Got a couple of callers on the line, but there's room for you, too, at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. Professor Marjorie Cohn, our lawyer, will join us in a few minutes to update us on the force-feeding of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. If you're planning to eat something in the next half hour, either do it now or wait. And about 4:45, State Senator Deborah Bowen will join us for an update on the certification of Diebold electronic voting machines by Secretary of State Bruce McPherson. He did it late last Friday when he was hoping no one would notice. That's all ahead here on the PBC show. I want to return to Gregory in Gilroy, who's been on hold for way too long, but I wanted to let him complete his thoughts because he has something to say. Go ahead, Gregory.
Yeah, there was just one other thing, Peter, and that was about the abortion issue that Michael was talking about. I had a friend who had a very difficult heart condition, and he and his wife already had two children. They didn't want to have a third child. They didn't feel like it supported. And I showed them this, The Miracle of Life, which was a PBS of a film that shows how wonderful the creative process is. And in the film, it shows all the different ways in which life of the fetus is terminated. And there's all sorts of infections and everything. And it seemed to me that the consent of the parent to have the child is the last natural barrier before the child is born. And it's a part of nature. I would say, essentially, that's a procreation rather than a pro-life or pro-choice thing. It's just a, it's a natural part of our species to be able to do that. I think the left needs to take science and spirituality in hand and combine them so that people don't get so misled by all of these do's and don'ts that, it doesn't seem like to me it's really a true part of Christianity, what they're doing at all.
Well, and you're a rational person, and here lies the rub, that we are up against so many irrational positions that are trotted out by people who claim to be religious. And here's an example that
right.
that comes into the zone of what you're talking about abortion issues. This president has firmly opposed any federal support for embryonic stem cell research. And he advances what I consider to be the completely phony notion that an embryo is a life form that requires our protection like a fetus would. And there are no scientists who would support this position that he takes, but he basically pushes back with a religious theme that is like kryptonite. And it's very hard for science to penetrate the bubble created by the religiosity of the president's position.
Well, that's true. I mean, like, I don't think we're going to, like Michael says, take back the country from the religious right. Well, I think we need to start a new frontier. I mean, like, it's not going to happen overnight, but the more we present reasonable non-religious, or if they're religious people presuming religious overtones, that's fine, too. But a way in which science and philosophy and spirituality can form a secular approach to these issues. I mean, like, I think what's happened is that because there's no real secular force in this area, it got branded godless humanism and stuff like that. And I think that what we have to do is to say, hey, we actually believe that there is a major spiritual aliveness that's available to all of us as a result of having been born, having been created. And if you want to go to church and give thanks for that, that's fine. If you don't, you go out and watch a sunset, and it's equally as inspiring, or maybe sometimes for some people more inspiring. But
Gregory, I appreciate the thoughtfulness of your call. I just need to move along, and I think you've made some very good points. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today. Dennis, King City, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
We could do a whole show on abortion, a whole hour on that one. Did I hear the rabbi correctly when he was saying what the Republicans are doing to the liberals as far as our patients with gays and our feelings of the right to choice of a woman, that they're painting us the same way that Hitler did the Jews, blaming us for all the woes of this country? Did I hear that correctly?
I don't think he said that specifically.
Well, that's kind of the meaning I got out of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you can infer that. I'm just saying I don't think he explicitly made a comment quite that strong.
Well, I personally believe that they're painting the liberals as the real problem of this country, and they're getting away with it. But anyway,
a quick interesting point. The last caller we took last night was a conservative who we hear from occasionally, a guy named Thor. And he was talking about abortion rights, the partial birth abortion case the Supreme Court has accepted, and he used the phrase abortion on demand several times in the call, and I called him on it, because that is a carefully rehearsed buzz phrase the political right.
That's right.
And he was oblivious to it. He had no idea that he had picked that up just in his media usage. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, here's what I think. We're down to three types of, or actually maybe more types of voters. You got the religious right wacko fanatics, and you can't do much with them. Then you got the people that love money more than they love their country or their fellow man, which we're seeing now in the sale of the ports. And then we have people that think Bush is smart. That would tell you how dumb they are. And so what I'm coming up with is the only thing we have left to do is just try and get people to vote and people to register. I don't know if we're ever going to change these people's mind.
Dennis, thank you very much. I appreciate your call, and you have some good points there. Never misunderestimate George W. Bush, to use his own mangled phrase. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Professor Marjorie Cohn will join us next. We'll talk about atrocities at Guantanamo Bay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236. It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, where it's 4:33 on this fabulous Wednesday afternoon. Coming up in the next 45 minutes, State Senator Deborah Bowen on the certification of Diebold electronic voting machines in California. Larissa Alexandrovna, an update on the Scooter Libby case and the defense attorney's efforts to graymail the government. We'll explain that. And attorney Robert Bryan, who defends only capital punishment defendants, will join us on the program coming up next hour to talk about the suspension of executions at San Quentin State Prison. We covered it yesterday, and surprise, Mike Farrell and I wished that the state would suspend the execution of Michael Morales, and they did. Not because of us, of course, but I was pleased to see the step that they took. This segment of the program, Marjorie Cohn joins us, professor of law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, and she is the incoming president of the National Lawyers Guild. She also is a weekly contributor to the website truthout.org, where she posted a piece that we're going to talk about here. A couple of items first. The United Nations released a report last week calling on the United States to shut down Gitmo and free its detainees quickly or try them. And the White House responded, well, this is just a rehash of previous reports. Item, if you go to truthout.org today, you'll see a report from the independent newspaper in Britain, which is where, unfortunately, we have to look for a lot of the news that doesn't make it into the U.S. media. And a Nigel Morris byline piece reports that an award-winning film director who reconstructed scenes of torture and abuse at Guantanamo Bay has called for the immediate closure of the camp. Michael Winterbottom's film shows prisoners in orange jumpsuits beaten, manacled to floors, and subjected to deafening music in solitary confinement. And our third item is the piece by Marjorie Cohn. And she reports what we broke on this program when it first was reported in the British media. January 8th of this year, finally reported in the New York Times about a month later. And Marjorie Cohn, you pick up the story with the report from the UN Human Rights Commission. And this is specifically reporting the regarding the reported force feeding of detainees who have gone on a hunger strike. Welcome to our program today, and tell us about this disturbing news.
Yes, Peter, and I want to warn the listeners that things are going to get very graphic here with these descriptions, and so if you have a weak stomach, you probably should turn off your radio.
Thank you for that. Go ahead.
The UN Human Rights Commission, after an investigation, reported that the violent force feeding of detainees by the U.S. military at Guantanamo amounts to torture. More than a third of the prisoners there have refused food. They've been on a hunger strike at various times to protest basically the living hell that they're enduring. Mm-hmm. 4 years of captivity, no sign that they'll ever be released, no criminal charges against most of them. And several of the lawyers who have been there have talked to their clients who have told them independently, corroborated similar things, which the military was denying up until they couldn't deny it anymore. Julia Tarver is one attorney who represents some of these Guantanamo detainees, and she filed a sworn declaration in federal district court. And she said that one of her clients said that he was taken into custody in Guantanamo when he was still a juvenile. And he talked about them forcing a tube down to his nose, pushed all the way down through his throat into his stomach. No anesthesia or sedative. He said that blood gushed out of his nose. He couldn't speak for 2 days. He felt like a piece of metal was inside of him. And when he and others, and I'm quoting now, vomited up blood, the soldiers mocked and cursed at them and taunted them with statements like, look what your religion has brought you. The detainees, and then they started using thicker, larger tubes. The detainees see these as objects of torture. Some have fainted or lost consciousness when these tubes are inserted, and they describe the pain as unbearable. And also, one of the horrible things is that they don't sterilize these tubes in between uses. Oh. And so before they put them into your nose, you can see the stomach bile and blood of another detainee on the tube that's going into your nose. One of the other bad things is that physicians are complicit in this. And in fact, the American Medical Association, among other organizations, has said has prohibited doctors from participating in force feeding of a detainee, provided the detainee is capable of understanding the consequences of refusing food. So why are they doing this? Well, they're doing it for political reasons, because if detainees die because they've starved themselves to death because the conditions are so horrible there, that would be a political embarrassment to the Bush administration. And so notwithstanding well-established principles of international and U.S. law and U.S. organizations, including and the Red Cross and the AMA, they are force-feeding, violently force-feeding these people. And what they're doing is strapping them into chairs, handcuffing them to the chairs, shackling their legs, and then sticking these tubes down their noses. This is really, really repulsive.
Certainly is. And 2 points, Marjorie. I was in a car accident many years ago, and as a result, they required, a tube feeding for a couple of days. So I have experienced this firsthand. Now, the people who did it to me used a very narrow tube, and they were humane about it. They greased the tube with Vaseline or something like that before attempting to feed it up through my nose and down my throat. And, you know, I reacted to this so badly that twice, as they were attempting to insert it, I just reached up and pulled the damn thing out. And they said, come on, Peter, settle down. We've got to do this because it's for your health. And for reasons that were smart at the time, I submitted. But it was one of the most grueling medical procedures I've ever been subjected to. And so as you described it, it came back to me very vividly. I'll also point out that California last year passed a law that now bans the force feeding of geese for the production of foie gras. Now, I like pâté, but after I read the descriptions and the graphic descriptions of how these critters were treated and, you know, basically force-fed for the market, I accepted that, you know, I'm going to live the rest of my life with only occasional tastes of foie gras, and I can live with that. I think it's an acceptable compromise. But for us to treat geese better than humans that we have detained at Guantanamo under the conditions you described, you know, no charges, no end in sight for their detention. It's just wide open, unlimited, no contact with family or friends. And you can understand why they would want to go on a hunger strike and end their lives rather than submit to this ongoing degradation.
Yes, Julia Tarver also quoted another one of her clients as saying, now after 4 years in captivity, life and death are the same. You know, people have to really be desperate before they go on a hunger strike. And the prevailing rules are that if someone is capable of understanding the results of not eating, then they should not be force-fed. Today's New York Times is very interesting. It has an article where the military finally acknowledged that they're doing this force-feeding. Evidently, they had been denying it. On December 12th, the former chief medical officer at Guantanamo wrote that his staff was not force-feeding any detainees, but providing nutritional supplementation on a voluntary basis to detainees who wish to protest their confinement by not taking oral nourishment. That was a lie, putting a gloss on a very violent and inhumane and torturous procedure, and now, of course, they're admitting that this is actually taking place, and I think that it's become such public knowledge with the UN Human Rights Commission report that they can't deny it anymore.
Rumsfeld, I can't cite the quote word for word, but at a news conference, when he was asked about the hunger strikers, and this was before the force feeding was disclosed, he had a comment something to the effect that, people go on a diet.
Right.
You know, like it was just a casual situation and that he could shrug it off that way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Rumsfeld said a similar thing when he authorized forced standing for hours at a time, and he saw that it said that forced standing for 4 hours was permissible, and he wrote in response, why only 4 hours? I stand for 8 to 10 hours at a time. It's just an incredible insensitivity to the fact that these people are human beings. And, you know, one thing that we really need to keep in mind is that the overwhelming majority of the prisoners that our government is holding at Guantanamo are not terrorists. They're not jihadists.
Yes.
Many of them were picked up in Afghanistan and other countries and sold to the U.S. military by bounty hunters. And of the roughly 500 men there, only 9 have been designated for trial and criminal charges.
And I believe less than 30% are people who were detained more or less on the battlefield, which is what we've been told. You know, these are the bad guys, the worst of the worst of Al-Qaeda. But it's been a very broad dragnet that has brought people to Guantanamo Bay. And as you point out, only a small percentage of these people even remotely measure up to the description we've been given.
You know, the problem is if the Bush administration released them, they would all tell stories of torture. And that would be bad politically for the Bush administration, so they continue to hold them. The Human Rights Commission is recommending that the U.S. government close Guantanamo and stop torturing people and investigate these allegations of torture or cruel treatment by an independent authority. And, of course, the Bush administration is rejecting that. The Bush administration rejected the U.N. Human Rights Commission report, saying that we invited you. These were five experts from different countries on different areas who came down on behalf of this 54 country member organization, the UN Human Rights Commission, and the Bush administration invited them to come to Guantanamo, but said they couldn't interview the prisoners.
Right.
They wanted to give them, you know, they wanted to sugarcoat the visit.
Now they ridicule the study, saying, well, they didn't even go there.
Right.
Marjorie, thanks for joining us, and I appreciate you dealing with a very difficult subject.
My pleasure, Peter. All take right. care.
We'll talk again soon. Marjorie Cohn, professor of law, Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. We're going to take a break and return with State Senator Deborah Bowen. We'll talk about Bruce McPherson, the Secretary of State's late Friday announcement of certification of Diebold electronic voting machines here in California. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Discover the magic of green tea, an ancient secret with amazing powers. The benefits of green tea have helped improve the health of thousands of people. Renowned health expert Dr. Alex Duarte says that green tea has powerful antioxidant properties that keep the immune system strong. Listen to KRXA AM 540 on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. to learn how you can use green tea to increase energy, lose weight, and live longer. Don't miss this show on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. right here on KRXA AM 540, your progressive prescription.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. Now it's 447. Here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Monterey. It's northbound Highway 1 at Highway 218. Two vehicles involved in this one. It is reportedly blocking lanes, so CHP en route to check out how many vehicles involved and exactly which lanes they're blocking. We also have an accident in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Irwin Way. Two vehicles involved in this one, and they are blocking lanes, so that's going to slow things down a bit. And a stalled vehicle in Prunedale, Tustin Road at Grace Lane. Actually, a broken-down motorhome partially blocking the roadway there. This report is brought to you by AutoWest Acura of Stevens Creek. In honor of President's Day, Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek has special financing on every new Acura through February 28th. Call 1-800-ACURA-USA or AutoWestAcura.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back about 520. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 448. One of the top priorities of this program and our listeners is free, fair, and honest elections in California and across the United States. We feel burned by 2000 in Florida, by 2004 and 2005 in Ohio. And we've talked to enough people who know how these machines work to have a healthy sense of skepticism. State Senator Deborah Bowen chairs the Senate Elections Committee, and she is a candidate for the office of Secretary of State in the Democratic primary coming up this June. She's appeared on our program several times, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, Senator.
It's always good to be with you, Peter.
I wish we didn't have to talk about these ups and downs, but it's very important. And what we saw was that last week the Secretary of State's office issued a notice of a public event coming up in a couple of weeks where they said that they would review the certification of a series of voting machine products, and Diebold was not on that list. Then, late Friday, and this is a patented ploy of the Bush administration, you drop bad news about 5 o'clock on Friday and hope that it gets buried in the Saturday paper, and the Friday night news programs have already been set, so this is where you sneak something past us. And before we talk about the announcement that the Secretary of State's office made, a little background. Here is an interview with Bruce McPherson that was done, I believe, in January regarding the certification of voting machines, and let's listen.
So if the federal government passes on the Diebold machine or the memory card, what's the next step for it then? Obviously,
well, if it seems to meet the test and we're satisfied with it, we would certify it. But we'll see what they say, actually. Frankly, that had gotten through the testing process, this part of the Diebold system. And they hadn't looked at it at the federal level. And we said, we need to have another check at this. And they said, wow, that was an oversight that should have been caught. So we'll see how they respond. And we're going to have to be satisfied with it. But I'll just have to wait till then. And I hope we can, the system would take, say they certified or said it's okay. There would be a public hearing process and a certification process that would probably take us until at least the early part of March.
Okay, let's stop there. That's Bruce McPherson, the Republican-appointed Secretary of State. And Senator Bowen, let's deal with these things one by one, and I just want to ask you if it's factual. Number one, did the Secretary of State's office honor the comments made by McPherson himself right there? Number one, that they would wait for evaluation and certification by the Federal Office of Information Technology.
They did not. It's the Federal Independent Testing Authorities.
Thank you. ITA.
Yeah, they're a series of private laboratories. They are not a government entity.
Okay.
But we do not have a review back on the questions of the memory card and the hack test on the memory card. So, no, he did not keep his commitment to wait until the federal testing process was completed before the Diebold machines would be even considered.
And secondly, he said that following the federal authorization or clearance, that there would be hearings in California before they would be certified. And to my knowledge, those hearings have not occurred. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's been no hearing. Well, they're taking the position that a hearing that was held last November, before the memory card issue came up, before the Diebold machines were sent back because the testing was so sloppy, they're relying on that hearing and on the result of a review by a board appointed by the Secretary of State, and that review wasn't even made public until after the certification.
So the Secretary has jumped over several of the benchmarks that he himself proposed would take place before Diebold machines were certified for use in California, particularly in this June's election.
That's correct. He's reneged on the commitments he made about process and about transparency and about giving the public an opportunity to comment.
And your view on why, his motive?
That's for him to say, but the testing, the review that he relied on is scathing. It raises new issues rather than settling questions. So, no wonder that the people who wanted to see Diebold certified didn't want any of that to be made public before the decision was made.
The Friday 5 p.m. drop, does that raise more suspicion on your part?
Oh, it's just sad.
Friday's also the day that typically all legislators are in the district.
Yeah, I was actually at a board meeting of Accurate, which is the the National Science Foundation's study of voting technology. So there I was in a room full of the best and brightest minds from around the country who were discussing the failings of electronic voting machines and the need for research, and we heard while we were all there.
Mm-hmm. So let me just ask you an open-ended question here. What are your concerns and what are you doing to try to analyze this move by the secretary and take steps to change it if they're available?
This afternoon, I sent a letter to the Secretary of State urging him to reverse the decision to recertify this voting equipment based on the commitment to wait for the federal testing, the provision of state law that requires that a system be federally certified before it is approved in California, and based on another provision of state law that requires access to disabled voters, which also are not provided by the Diebold equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you think that'll gain any traction, or he's going to file that?
I have to send it because the issues have to be raised. And I've been asking people to go to my website, which is deborahbowen.com. It's deborahbowen.com. And join me in sending the secretary a very strong message that this is just unacceptable. And I'm working with some people who are looking at legal options. So there are a number of things that are proceeding. In the long term, we just need a different voting system.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have software that is available for everyone to review so we don't have to depend on the federal testing labs to tell us whether or not it's okay.
Got a caller here, Michelle from Cyprus. Join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Senator Deborah Bowen.
Well, thank you, Peter, and thank you, Senator Bowen. I did sign your petition, and I also called every person on the Rules Committee, every senator besides you, since I already sent you an email. And my concern is, have you heard from the other senators, and have they heard a reaction from the citizens of California? Because this is an imperative issue that we deal with it. And wasn't it in November, as you said, that it was just sent back with Diebold, with the situation with Diebold? We're not talking about the other systems, voting systems, that such as, Weil has problems. But, with Diebold, they sent that back in February to the federal certification process,
right,
correct?
I have spoken with some of my colleagues. And we are continuing to work on other ways to do this. So I think you're referring to the fact that I held a hearing in Menlo Park on Thursday, and I specifically about the federal testing process. I asked the federal labs, again, they're private labs, to come, and I asked the vendors, Diebold and the other voting machine vendors, to come, and they all basically thumbed their nose, not just at me, but at the people of California. And the reason for looking at subpoenas is to compel their presence. That is not a short-term solution, however. I chaired the Energy Committee during the energy crisis, and it took us a significant amount of time not to get the subpoenas, but to be prepared to deal with Enron and to really go really go into combat to get documents and to get answers. So in the short term, we have to look at our legal options. We have to, but we need to let the Secretary of State know that this is unacceptable.
Michelle, thank you for your call. One more comment, Senator Bowen. We interviewed Clint Curtis yesterday, a former software engineer who's now running against Tom Feeney for a congressional seat in Florida. And his affidavit shows how he was asked by Feeney to create software to manipulate elections. And he did so. And there are many of us who believe that they have succeeded, and it's just more of an indication that these are not hypothetical questions or problems. Got about 20 seconds. Please respond.
We absolutely know that there are problems. We know there were problems in California, and there's actually whole websites devoted to glitch reporting, and this undermines the confidence that people have in our whole democracy. So this is not a hypothetical exercise. It's really critical.
Please keep fighting for us, Senator.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Deborah Bowen, candidate for Secretary of State in the Democratic primary. I'm Peter B. Collins. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. They call America the land of opportunity, and eight friends from Nebraska, including several immigrants, aren't about to disagree.
We're still thinking we're going to wake up from a dream or something, and it's not all true, or we're trying to grasp the fact that we're millionaires now.
Chastity Rutgens is one of eight co-workers who played the Powerball lottery together and hit the jackpot big time.
Eric Zorins returned home Saturday night from losing money at a casino to find out he was a big Powerball winner.
You gotta be kidding me.
He's one of the few eight Nebraska Powerball winners who has already quit work at the meat processing plant.
I've been retired for about 4 days now.
Among those each getting $15.5 million after taxes are two Vietnamese immigrants and a man whose family came to the United States to escape civil war in West Africa. Lee Frank, CBS News, Lincoln, Nebraska.
A Marine drill sergeant has been found not guilty in the death of 19-year-old Jason Tharp, a recruit who drowned last year. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula is in Parris Island, South Carolina.
After the verdict was announced, Jason Tharp's parents came out of the courthouse very distraught. His father said that this is like reliving their son's death all over again, the not guilty verdict. Throwing down a folder of papers, notes he had kept through the trial, he said, quote, there's no justice at Parris Island.
President Bush has been vigorously defending the deal, which allows an Arab company to manage operations at six U.S. seaports. In Saudi Arabia, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the deal won't hurt security.
It was a very thorough process of vetting that deal, and that thorough process was carried out.
Arab reaction to the American backlash is starting to come in. One Arab security analyst calls the U.S. reaction to the deal Arab phobia. Some potentially bad news for arthritis sufferers. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says a new government study discounts the effectiveness of some popular supplements.
Glucosamine and chondroitin are among America's most popular supplements, but now a New England Journal of Medicine study is disputing their benefits for arthritis sufferers. University of Utah researcher Daniel Clegg says people with moderate to severe pain might benefit from a combined treatment.
While it's an interesting result, I think it needs further study.
Dr. Jason Theodosakis, a leading proponent of these supplements, disagrees and says you shouldn't hesitate to try them.
You want to choose the safest and least expensive treatment to start.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
People who lost loved ones in a boating accident last year get more bad news. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitney says this one's pretty hard to believe.
20 people died last fall when a sightseeing boat capsized on New York's Lake George, but their families will have trouble collecting damages. The company that issued a $2 million insurance policy on the boat says it only covered accidents on land, not on water.
The insurance agent for the boat company says the owner wanted it that way. The owner says he didn't know. Survivors who filed claims got a letter from the cruise company explaining the problem and expressing their deepest sympathies. This is CBS News.
Why do energy drinks make you crash? I'm Dr. James Bragman, host of Prescription for Health. The answer is large amounts of sugar and caffeine. That's why I recommend 5-Hour Energy. It gives you hours of energy without the crash. 5-Hour Energy contains B vitamins, enzymes, and amino acids. Zero sugar and just enough caffeine. So if your energy drink makes you crash, then switch to 5-Hour Energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later.
5-Hour Energy is in the diet section at Walgreens, the pain relief section of CVS and Rite Aid, plus many 7-Eleven and GNC stores.
My name's Belinda, and today's my fifth day with Prilosec OTC. My husband and I used to love to travel until frequent heartburn pulled me off the road. But Prilosec OTC's made all the difference, and it started to work the first day. Now we're headed for Vegas. Imagine zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day five for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
It sounds like something out of a British movie, but this was no act. CBS's Vicky Barker reports several men posing as police officers pulled off one of the biggest robberies in British history.
Spokesmen for the security firm say at least six men took part in the highly sophisticated raid, tying up 15 employees and abducting the manager and his family. They got away with the equivalent of $43 million in cash. No word from the Bank of England yet as to whether those banknotes can be traced.
The head of a New Jersey biomedical lab is charged in a plot to steal possibly infected tissue from New York area funeral homes, then sell them for transplants. Investigators say the parts came from elderly and sometimes infected people. Someone changed the paperwork to indicate the corpses were younger and healthier. If allergies make you sneeze and wheeze, relief may come a little cheaper. The FDA has approved the first generic version of the popular nasal spray, Flonase. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
For the fans. This is for all of you out there who want to get a little closer to the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. We know you're a fan, and AT&T has put together a way for you to get to know Team USA. You can send personal best wishes and good luck messages to each of your favorite U.S. Olympic team members. Just visit att.com/teamusa and let AT&T deliver your support to the U.S. Olympic athletes in Torino. AT&T, proud sponsor of the 2006 U.S. Olympic team. Introducing the new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you could do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life. Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you could do for your heart.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 5:06. Coming up shortly, we'll be joined by criminal defense lawyer Robert Bryan. He defends only death penalty cases in California. We'll get his take on the suspension of executions at San Quentin, and it started in time for the to abort the execution last night of Michael Morales. And we open up the phones to talk with you this hour. The Free Speech Zone coming up, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. Hey, thank you, Neil. I'm glad you're still alive. Every week we have a visit from Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter at RawStory.com. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. I have a little complaint about the Raw Story website.
Oh, no, what?
I assume that the red background is similar to the red nail polish that you sport on a regular basis. Is that true?
No, I don't sport nail polish. But
oh, okay.
Is that really a complaint?
The red background takes forever to load. And so,
you know what? It's not the background. It's a programming thing, and we're in the middle of redesigning it. In fact, we have the new look already up in testing.
Okay, great.
It's just the color. That's not what you're having problems loading.
Okay. Well, I blame it on the red, but, you know, I'm low tech. I'm a user, not a programmer. Well, let's talk about the port security flap, the sale of P&O to the government of Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And first and foremost, it's surprising to hear today that Scott McClellan has admitted that the president was only informed about this a couple of days ago.
And after
despite,
the deal.
Despite his recent knowledge, he's got the V threat out there big time. He said,
right.
I'll veto any attempt you make to block this sale.
Right, right. And then Donald Rumsfeld wasn't aware of it either, and he's supposed to be on the reviewing committee. So, that, yeah, it doesn't bode well. It makes them look, you know, as always, they're the last to know, seemingly, in terms of what's going on in their own government. So it's disturbing, to say the least. I've spent the whole day today calling Intel people, security people, historians, you name it. I've talked to everybody to try to get a real sense of, you know, how serious of a threat this really is.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, across the board, the sentiment is that this isn't really in and of itself a threat, that the actual threat is the lack of any port security that we have.
What do you mean by that? We inspect up to 6% of the containers to come into this country. What, you know, that's maximum security. What's your problem? Huh?
Right, right.
I mean, 6%!
So, well, right, and everyone, you know, seems to agree that this is nothing more than, you know, business. And here I am standing by myself. I seemingly am disagreeing with every expert that I've talked to. So it's bizarre because, you know, my concern is, this isn't a company, this is a government that would own the ports, essentially.
Yes.
And on top of that, this is not your typical type of government where you can, you know, now they're arguing that it's racism. I'm sure you've heard that by now.
Well, that's the pushback from Bush. But let's
say, for
example, it were the Swiss government. I'd feel a little bit better that the Swiss government did this for economic reasons and saw it as a healthy investment. But the nation of Dubai does have additional motives. I won't quite call them ulterior, but they're additional.
You know, I think the motives here are so convoluted because I've been on the phone all day, and I've tried to approach this from so many perspectives. And, you know, I've gotten all sorts of reasons why, but the ultimate thing is that it's not a threat. My concern is, why doesn't America control some? Imagine if we gave control of our nuclear plants.
Mm-hmm.
To someone else, to a
government. Let's outsource that to the Soviets because they did a great job with Chernobyl.
Right, with Chernobyl, right, in mm-hmm. my country.
Sorry.
I know, and they're still, you know, glowing in the dark over there.
Right.
The reality is we really shouldn't be outsourcing to any foreign government this porous. It requires this amount of... that lacks the oversight and the infrastructure that we need in order to keep this country safe. But that's even beside the point, because on my other concern, and again, I'm standing away from the experts, just don't seem to concern, is that, you know, obviously there's the long-term connections between Dubai and terrorism and drug and arms money laundering. If you remember the BCCI scandal,
indeed I do.
And if the high money for the 9/11 hijackers was funneled mm-hmm. and laundered through a Dubai bank. You've got two of the hijackers from Dubai, so they're not good at their own oversight. So this is them being aware of. For example, for me, a concern is, for example, the schedules of various arrivals and departures
mm-hmm.
makes me nervous. But again, you know, in all fairness, every expert from intelligence to security that I've talked to says, you know, this isn't as much a threat as people are making it out to be. So
that might be true, Larissa, if we had a dedicated port security force
right.
as part of our so-called Department of Homeland Security. But
right,
we don't. And,
well,
and
no,
so,
I think it's bigger than that. I think I you know, on principle, don't think we need to be outsourcing national security oversight to a foreign entity.
Okay, but let's be correct here. We're not talking about the security portion. It's the operational portion. It's the lifts and the container boxes and the employer of the truckers and the longshoremen who work on the piers at the port.
And how does that not affect security?
Well, there should be security overarching above that, and I'm not rationalizing that any foreign company, British, Dubai, Swiss, Mexican,
right.
Venezuelan, you know, it should properly be retained as an American function. That's my position. But I don't feel hysterical about the fact that these are Arabs or Muslims. I look at the history of Dubai.
Uh-huh.
I look at the cronyism involved. Raw story breaking today that Bob Dole took time off from his lobbying work for Pfizer and Viagra to lobby for Dubai on the Ports World purchase of P&O.
Well,
so
sure,
we have a lot of cronyism. We've got Jon Snow, who was the chair of CSX. CSX did a big deal with Dubai Ports in 2004.
Sure, and you've got David Sanborn, who's a former DP executive. Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of conflict of interest. I agree. There's also a lot of overlap with, frankly, I mean, I think this entire bunch owes Michael Moore an apology because, if I remember correctly, he showed these guys skipping along together, holding hands, and everyone said, no, that's absurd. But the reality is, I think that this is a case where business interests trumps national security. And this is a case where I think Halliburton, while everyone's focused on Sanborn and on Snow and all these other players,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bush's brother gets funding from these guys as well.
That's Marvin? Marvin?
No, that's, oh, God.
Which Bush?
Neil.
Neil.
Neil's
at the trough on this one.
Yes.
He's
the one with the little educational company.
Yeah, I thought he was
Marvin's
busy getting VD
guy.
In Asia.
He what?
Yeah, I thought he was so busy getting VD in Asia.
Well, you know, he's in bed with the Tan family in China.
Uh-huh.
So he might as well, you know, in terms of he sits on some questionable boards. Yeah, it's quite a family endeavor. Carlyle Group's involved. But no one.
Oh, really? Tell us about that.
Well, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago. I mean, these guys put in the Emir and, you know, the whole gang,
mm-hmm.
put in about $8 million dollars into Carlyle banks and investments.
That'll grease it.
And we know, again, this is why I'm telling you, that I think they owe Michael Moore an apology.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I believe is that people are underplaying the Halliburton connection here.
Which is?
Which is that Halliburton has a lot of interest in Dubai, in one of their subsidiaries, that they run off a Cayman account, but is actually
yes.
headquartered in Dubai.
And that's the Cayman-based Halliburton division that did business with Iran.
Right, and Libya and AQ Khan.
Yeah.
So now you're right. They're also part of a strategy of buying up ports, it seems, or at least being involved in port deals in Pakistan also at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on with Halliburton that I can't quite gauge. And I've been focused on primarily that all day, and this is how I ended up talking about in general, like what, you know, what's the temperature of this with these security experts.
Yeah, very good. Larissa, I'm out of time, but thanks a lot for your report today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, thank you.
And keep digging. We'll keep reading at Raw Story, and I can't wait for the new web design to take hold. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up next, defense attorney Robert Bryan comments on the suspension of executions in California. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a 5-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Dr. Joan Kenley invites you to join the conversation this Saturday at 3 here on KRXA 540. She's going to share just what makes a great conversation, tips you can use right away. Joan and her guests will talk about listening with your body, mind, heart, and soul. Learn how good conversations avoid blame and judgment. Find out how you can stay real and authentic even in difficult conversations. Have you ever wondered how your values and beliefs shape what you say? Where do great conversations happen? What do music and conversation have in common? And a really big question, can the world be changed by conversations that matter? You'll hear personal stories and great information from Joan's impressive guests, Juanita Brown, Tom Hurley, and Paul Andrews. Get more information and hear previous shows at joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540. KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 519. Here's Metro Diane.
We do have a couple accidents to tell you about. Going to start out in SoCal. SoCal San Jose Road at Shawnee Court, a solo vehicle actually hit a fence there. So no injuries reported, and they are working on towing the vehicle back up onto the roadway and getting it out of there. An earlier accident in Boulder Creek had been blocking lanes, Highway 9 at Irwin Way. The two vehicles involved in that accident had been moved over to the right-hand shoulder. So CHP were on scene working on clearing that out. Checking the Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17. Check and install and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek. In honor of President's Day, Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek has special financing on every new Acura through February 28th. Call 1-800-ACURA-USA or AutoWestAcura.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Up and down the left coast, we're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. As we left the air last night just before 6 o'clock, it appeared that the death machinery in California was going to go forward with the execution of Michael Morales. It had become a legal circus, with Judge Fogel issuing a new order and prescribing how the state of California must have a medical professional in the death chamber, essentially an MD acting as an executioner. This crosses a line that I feel should never be crossed, and historically has not been crossed in California. Let's stop the circus music. Joining us now is Robert Bryan. He is a distinguished defense attorney based in San Francisco, whose practice is exclusive to death penalty cases. And just as a side note, he fought the Vatican to keep St. Bridget's Church open in San Francisco and appealed his case all the way to the courts there in the Vatican. Robert Bryan, welcome to our program.
Hi, Peter.
Today.
That case in the Vatican was also a death penalty case. But it's the exception, though, to what I normally do. It's the execution of a church.
I understand, and I appreciate all the work you put in on that, and I cannot drive by St. Bridget's on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco without thinking of the struggle that you were a part of. Now, to the moment here, yesterday, as I described, it was surprising to me that the Department of Corrections said, well, we cannot comply with the judge's order, and despite the fact that they were trying to conclude the execution under the original death warrant that expired at midnight on Tuesday, they decided to suspend that execution, and in effect, all executions are on hold in California until the issue of the lethal injection is resolved. Tell me your views on this, please.
Well, number one, it's my understanding, Peter, that the this is going to wind its way, as so many issues like this do in capital cases, on appeal federally. The state's taking it up, but it's a mess. I think it's rather bizarre that all of this debate is over not whether or not somebody should die at the hands of the executioner, but whether or just how that person's to die. And you know, and there's a absurd notion that you know, death, I guess, can be pleasant to somebody who really doesn't want to die and who could spend the rest of his life in prison, and we would all be protected as society. So I think it's just bizarre, all of this debate over over you know, how we're going to do it. You know, it's I don't think it speaks very well for American society today.
And speak to the legal issues faced by the medical professionals, either doctors or nurses, who would be required by the state to put a person to sleep for the purpose of putting him to death and, in effect, making them executioners.
Well, you know, this is interesting because I'm in a death penalty hearing now just outside San Francisco, obviously in another case, and I happened to mention to the judge just at a recess in chambers on last Thursday that I couldn't imagine this going forward because it's like a catch-22 to require physicians, doctors to participate is contrary to their oath of saving lives, not helping somebody die. And then over the weekend with what happened, I said, well, I'm wrong, and I stand to be corrected. But in the the final analysis, the doctors did balk and said they just could not do it. I mean, they were putting literally their licenses to practice medicine on the line. I mean, they're supposed to be in the chamber, one of them, or they're supposed mm-hmm. to be there. And if the person begins to awaken, they're supposed to inject something else into him to sedate him and ultimately kill him. And it just, you know, it's just all very, very bizarre. And I just wonder, the doctors, did it not occur to them from the outset that, you know, they were putting themselves on the horns of a dilemma.
Have you ever tried a case before Judge Fogel or an appeal?
No. I know about Judge Fogel, I don't pretend to know a lot. As I said, I've been preoccupied this week in another death penalty case. But
do you think that his order yesterday was something that he expected the state could not accommodate?
That was my notion, as I expressed to our Superior Court judge last week, which incidentally happens to be the judge who tried the Angela Davis case many, many years ago, Judge Richard Arneson. And, I said, you know, it looks like the state would have to appeal if they want to keep the death chamber in business. They would have to appeal because no doctor would agree to do that. And then suddenly these two doctors popped up, whoever they are, these two mystery doctors who agreed to participate in the process. And I think it's, as I said, I think it puts them in somewhat of a catch-22 situation.
The other thing we were facing last night, Robert Bryan, was that this gentleman would be, Michael Morales, would essentially be a test case, a guinea pig, because they've never put somebody to death before solely with sodium pentothal.
Right. I mean, and that was what they were doing, is letting him be a guinea pig. And in the old days when the state had the gas chamber, they would actually, historically, they would test both here and elsewhere, death chambers, with animals. Of course, that's kind of hard to do with lethal injection, I guess. I think it raises really an issue. I think maybe the bigger issue is it possible to make the whole death execution process so clinical that, you know, it's painless. It's like taking a child taking a trip to Disneyland, and I just don't think that's possible. It's, you know, the death penalty, in my opinion, is cruel and unusual, and I've known the last two people executed, I did not represent them. One, Stanley Tukey Williams, wanted me to represent him 10 years ago in federal court in Los Angeles, but it just didn't work out for. I got to know him and the case really well, and Clarence Ray Allen, Native American who was recently executed, I knew him just through seeing him over there a lot, going over on death row, and it's you know, here are two people I knew well through the years who certainly did not want to die, you know, it's emotionally, it's aside just from the physical, it's a terrible thing to go through. I can't speak from experience. Nobody can. And that's maybe part of the problem is it often is painful. And Stanley Williams, if you remember Tukey Williams, they could not get the needle in his arm in the right place.
Yeah.
And he finally, I talked to some people who were present at the execution, and he just finally got just exasperated and said, put it there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and, Robert, thank you for joining us. We're out of time, but I appreciate your work, and thank you for your comments today.
Well, it's a pleasure talking with you, Peter.
Robert Bryan, defense attorney in San Francisco, who focuses exclusively on capital punishment cases. Your calls are welcome next in the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll free from elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage, and looking forward to working with you.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's been a busy afternoon. But we're not done yet. There's room for your call in the free speech zone. Call me now at 831-899-5792 or or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. My email is peter@krxa540.com. That's the website where we stream the program live, krxa540.com. You can tell your friends who are outside the reach of our broadcast signals. Or, you know, when nighttime comes and we've got to turn down the power a little bit, you might want to switch over to your computer. KRXA540.com is where the stream is live. You can call this program about anything we've been discussing today. Michael Lerner's comments about the left hand of God and taking back our country from the religious right. Our conversations with Marjorie Cohn about force feeding of the hunger strikers at Guantanamo Bay. Senator Bowen's comments on it wasn't dead of night, but that was the equivalent. Bruce McPherson's certification of Diebold machines here in California. We also talked about the port controversy with Larissa and the death penalty and the suspension of executions with Robert Bryan. So you have a rich menu of ideas to talk about. And I just have one thing before we go to the phones. This is short and sweet and succinct, and what I'm trying to figure out is if she's a Democrat or a Republican. Never says on the letterhead. Sue Myrick is a member of Congress, and I don't know which party. She is from the 3rd District. Sorry, I couldn't read it. 9th District in North Carolina. Her letter reads simply, Honorable George W. Bush, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., Dear Mr. President, in regards to selling American ports to the United Arab Emirates, not just no, but hell no. That's in all caps. And that's the end of the letter. Sincerely, Sue Myrick, member of Congress. She's a Republican. Thanks, Matt. She has a good sense of humor and a nice, crisp correspondence style. Paula in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the air. This is Peter B.
Peter B., you guys are cooking this week. I wanted to, I told Matt I wanted to talk about Clint Curtis, but following up with Mr. Bryan, when you were talking with Mike Farrell yesterday and clarifying for me as I was driving that it had to be a medical person, well, that didn't say anything, but when he said licensed,
yeah,
no licensed person can do this. They cannot do it. It's not going to happen. There's just no way. I mean, I don't know anyone. I have a license. I don't know anyone who would ever consent to do anything like that. Let me
just interject this, Paula. The medical system of the California Department of Corrections is in such shambles that Judge Thelton Henderson has appointed a receiver, Robert Sillen, who is currently the director of the Santa Clara County Department of Public Health and the Santa Clara Valley Medical Center. And, you know, one can at least try to speculate that the people who do work in the failed health system of the state prison environment, there might be somebody there who would volunteer for a task like this. And as I say it,
I'm thinking about a guy I know who used to be one of the doctors at San Quentin. And he, I'll just put it charitably, he is one of the least ethical people I've encountered in my years of contact with people who either are incarcerated or work in the prison system in California. So what I'm saying there is maybe the judge felt that there was somebody who didn't have serious ethics who possibly has been working in the medical department of the Department of Corrections who would volunteer to do this.
It's just mind-boggling. And as far as Ms. Cohen's comments about what's going on at Gitmo, you know, as you know, having had that tube put down, it's a nasogastric tube. It's not a sterile procedure, and it can be done by someone who has just a licensed vocational nursing degree, so it's not something that requires a lot of training, but it is quite a dreadful thing to have to do to someone, and they don't normally use anesthesia. They can use a topical gel that has some anesthesia in it, but it doesn't really do anything to really, you know, mitigate the deep discomfort. And so I'm trying to imagine these people being restrained and having this done, and I'm just...
Well, in the use of larger tubes, as described, go to truthout.org and read the details in Marjorie's column.
And as you're trying to pass that through someone, the back of someone's, you know, the nasal cavity into the throat, and just the sensation of...
Well, and let's simulate this, because what Marjorie Cohn quotes one of the attorneys as saying is that the larger tubes they used were the size of a finger.
Absolutely.
So even if you're driving, pick a finger, and I will not turn you into the nose-picking authority, but just go ahead and stick a finger up your nose, all right? And it stops there at the cartilage.
Uh-huh.
And imagine jamming that further in and then having it go around and down your throat.
It's very hard to do even with a patient who's cooperating.
Yes.
It's extremely difficult, and it's so uncomfortable, and so I'm just horrified by what I'm hearing and what, I mean, I just cannot even imagine that they have personnel there who would be willing to participate in that either, but apparently they do.
It is sadistic.
This is all being done in our name. And finally, if I could just say, I missed the part with Senator Bowen, and I had asked Matt, and I was so riveted by hearing the interview with Clint Curtis yesterday, so I wanted to thank you so much for bringing him to our attention.
Okay.
And that was just, and I understand you alerted Senator Bowen to his, you know, to what he's trying to do as well. So that
she does know about him. Yeah, she's familiar with that case. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Peter B.
Jake, you're next in Arcata. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Pretty good, Jake. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm just calling about the civil war that's breaking out in Iraq. I know the Bush administration thinks their mission was accomplished, but if this was the mission, maybe we need to cancel the mission. How is it that, you know, we're going to just be right in the middle of this? We're going to put 100,000-plus American troops in the middle of another civil war. I mean, didn't we learn from Vietnam? Of course, George Bush didn't learn from Vietnam. He was too busy, you know, doing coke and getting drunk and, you know, I mean, obviously not doing anything the National Guard considering he went AWOL. So, you know, I'm just curious, what do the Republicans think now of their big success in Iraq?
Well, it's you can't cut and run, can't have a precipitous withdrawal, can't send a signal to the world that we'll cut and run. They don't think much at all. They are just crossing their fingers, and those who are up for the senators who are up for re-election and all the House members are holding their breath that this thing doesn't blow up into the full-scale civil war that you suggest, and I will not refute your suggestion in any way. I believe that Iraq is mired in a civil war right now. We simply don't call it that because it's not convenient to our victory strategy.
Yeah, and I think that is the case, that the media has just tried to ignore the obvious for quite some time. But after today, after the 1,200-year-old mosque, the Golden Dome being blown up,
and all three imams killed.
Yeah, tens of thousands of Shiites in the street, apparently reprisal killings, even from the security forces against Sunnis. This is spiraling out of control really quick, and George Bush and Dick Cheney and those other liars in the administration aren't going to be able to put a lid on this for very much longer. They're in big trouble.
Jake, one of the interesting things, I don't expect that you get to listen to all 3 hours of our show every day. Mark Manning is the documentary film producer who joined us on Monday. He was also on for a while last week. And he told me a very interesting story that in Fallujah, where the U.S. has suggested al-Zarqawi has been operating, the people there don't believe that al-Zarqawi exists. They think that he is a complete creation of the U.S. propaganda machine. And Manning told the story that he was sitting around with a family, and a young child, I think under the age of 10, came up and, you know, did something like threw a rock or a bottle or something like that. And one of the persons he was talking to pointed at the kid and he said, "There's Zarqawi."
Interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea that that was the local take. But, you know, I asked both Manning and Rita Leissner, who is a photographer, a photojournalist who was in Iraq, and she covered the siege of Najaf. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was. And, you know, I asked about foreign fighters. She said, none. That you know, in Fallujah, in the Sunni Triangle, all the people that Manning encountered were Sunnis. And in Najaf, Rita and her colleagues encountered only Shia. But in neither case did they report anybody telling them about so-called foreign fighters as part of the insurgency there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I think the real reason Americans don't have a clear picture of what's going on in Iraq, not only it's, you know, we all know the media isn't giving them the whole story, it's because they don't have the parallel here. I mean, the parallel here between Iraq and Palestine is obvious to those who know much about the region. I mean, essentially, Iraq is a big Palestine at this point, and we've got ourselves into such a huge problem, we don't know how to get out at this point, apparently, because they won't withdraw the troops because they want to keep the troops on top of the oil fields, after all. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the honest truth. This is why they don't want to get out. It's already, you know, spiraling out of control, Peter. I mean, there's not going to be a pro-Western democracy in Iraq. There's going to be a Shiite theocracy at some point along the lines of the Iranian regime, thanks to George Bush. Okay, mission accomplished. That's what we got out of this. And I just hope America wakes up to the fact that this war is not only illegal, it's just flat out insipid.
Can you take down a phone number?
Sure.
202-456-1212.
Okay.
Call up and ask for W. And would you give him the same advice you just gave us, Jake? You're very clear, you're well-informed, and you're dead on.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, good to talk to you today. More of your calls coming up next. You can call with any subject, any viewpoint, from any place within the sound of my voice. If you're on the Central Coast, save me a nickel. Call 831-899-5792, North Coast or elsewhere. Toll free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh. Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch, inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now at 547 in the p.m. Here's our good friend Diane.
Well, still working on clearing up an accident in Boulder Creek. It's Highway 9 at Irwin Way. Two vehicles involved in this. They were blocking lanes earlier, so they've been moved over to the shoulder. CHP is on scene. It looks like they're just waiting for a couple tow trucks to arrive and clear them on out of there. Some good news for SoCal. SoCal San Jose Road at Shawna Court. An earlier accident vehicle that hit a fence there. It has been cleared. Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Checking in stall and accident free. This report is brought to you by National University. Think you know how to run a company? Earn your MBA in just 12 months of intensive evening classes from National University and prove it. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Diane. It was a smooth ride today. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and you're listening. I'm glad you are. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. We're in the home stretch here, the free speech zone today. And we've got Dan in Blue Lake. Dan, thanks for holding on. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, is it me, Dan? Is it me, Peter?
Yes, it's you, Dan. I've got you.
All right. Bear with me because it's been a very traumatic day. I don't know if you watched Amy Goodman today, Democracy Now.
I didn't, no.
Well, she interviewed a reporter and a photographer who were unembedded in Fallujah that worked for Al Jazeera. And I think you ought to suggest to all your listeners, they bring up that show. And if anyone has any doubts about how this country has lost its honor and its reached a point of shame that's irredeemable. There's nothing can be done once every human being in America understands what we're doing, what we've done in Fallujah.
Pick two or three things and describe for our listeners what you saw.
I was listening to it. I was listening to it, and I went into such a state of depression I had to go to lay down.
Okay, so you didn't see... Just one sec. Democracy Now! Is broadcast on satellite TV,
right?
And I don't have a dish, so I don't get to watch it on TV. Oh, occasionally listen on KPFA.
Well, you can get it on public access channel there in your area, on whatever the public access channel. They play it four times a day, no matter where you're at.
Okay.
But I didn't have to see. I just listened to a man talk. But it's mostly about the killing of children, the destruction of children. I mean, hundreds of children. And when you hear these two people talking, I didn't watch it. I couldn't watch it. I'm glad I didn't have to look anything. I don't know if there were any pictures involved. It was just Amy went over there to Qatar and interviewed these two people. And it's the most horrible thing I've heard in my life. And I can't think of anything. I can't equate anything with it.
Now, Dan, did they describe the use of white phosphorus, the technique called shake and bake?
Yeah, No. This was more about just bombing and shooting with these laser guns. They've got these laser aiming guns. And just the way the people were treated. And so what we're going to have coming back from there are a bunch of psychopaths that are either going to kill themselves or eventually they're going to all go mad. No, Americans can't live with that kind of stuff in their conscience. They just can't. There's a few psychopaths that might be able to. But the average animal, human animal, I don't care where he's from, but he's from this country, he's been much too... You just can't do it. I can't live with what I've hardly live with what I learned today. And so I just recommend that everyone, as horrible as it is, they need to know that anyone that countenances this, that Rumsfeld and Cheney need to be hung as war criminals if they endorse this behavior, and I'm sure they did.
Well, let me suggest, Dan, I'll just tell you this. Mark Manning is a filmmaker who has been on our program twice in the last week. He talked in detail about Fallujah. And you can take a look at a segment, some trailer edits of his documentary at the website conceptionmedia.net.
Thank you so much.
And I recommend it to all our listeners. It is not particularly graphic or grisly, but it does depict the siege of Fallujah from the perspective of the people who live there. And it's very powerful stuff.
Don't give up, Peter, and just keep reminding people, Amy Goodman is the new Emma Goldman. She's out there in their face, and God bless her. She's got the heart and the courage to go and bring the truth to us, and we need to support her all we can.
She does great work, and she appears to be fearless. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Chris and Salinas, you're next. This is Peter B.
How are you doing, Peter?
Pretty good, thanks.
Hey, just for mentioning the Salinas, Democracy Now! Can be watched on Channel 24, cable Channel 24 at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Great.
Anyway,
I'm glad it doesn't compete with my show.
No. Anyway, I had a comment about the port security deal. I don't know how much in depth you went into, but my concern is, why is this country dealing with a country that is documented in the slave trade, the Al-Qaeda money laundering? They trade in child and children, and they trade in I just lost my train of thought, but I think you know where I'm going.
Well, we had an interesting discussion earlier this hour. I don't know if you caught it, with Larissa from Raw Story. And there are a couple of new angles that have surfaced. One is that Halliburton has a strong interest in these ports because of the kind of work they do. And I don't know enough detail yet to give you much more than that, but just when you hear their involvement, and it's through a subsidiary in the Cayman Islands that was exposed about 2 or 3 years ago that was set up while Dick Cheney was the head of Halliburton. And this division, this Cayman-based offshore company, is not subject to U.S. laws, and therefore was doing business with Iran, with Libya, with the AQ Khan Pakistan nuclear network, and a lot of it was transshipped through Dubai. And, of course, the Emirates are, you know, small geographically, but they are, shall we say, rather pliable when it comes to U.S. interests. And so Yemen is one of the UAE city-states that has been a serious problem for us. As you know, some Al-Qaeda operatives who were convicted there escaped from the prison in Yemen just a few weeks ago. And so we have some serious problems with those nation-states that are combined under the flag of the UAE. And it's fascinating to me to hear Bush speak so aggressively about this issue, as if his administration fully aired it out and vetted it, when we now know that he didn't find out about it until late last week, kind of like the way they showed him the videos of news coverage of Katrina as he was flying to New Orleans. You don't tell the president until he absolutely needs to know.
Yeah,
well,
you know that.
We've also learned that Donald Rumsfeld, whom the White House spokesman McClellan told us had signed off on this, didn't know diddly about it.
The Carlyle Group is extremely involved in this whole deal, too.
Well, Larissa touched on that, and I'm looking for more information. In fact, we've reached out to the author of a book about the Carlyle Group. His name is Dan Briody, and we're trying to schedule him on the program in the next few days to get an update on, number one, what Carlyle has been investing in recently, and number two, what their direct involvement might be. What we heard from Larissa is that the government of Dubai made an $8 million investment in the Carlyle Group sometime in the recent past.
Yeah, this country is also hardly a democracy or a republic, you know. So it's all convoluted with this administration, and it's just ridiculous and scary.
Yes, it is.
All right, you take it easy and keep up the good work, because, you know, if it wasn't for this Progressive Talk Radio, your station, and the other stations that I have to look to because I'm out of your area sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I'd just go nuts.
Well,
and thanks for the good work.
It's my therapy too, Chris. I'd have huge psychiatry bills if I didn't have this outlet. I want to thank everybody for calling today, and I want to thank Matt Renner for a great job. He lined up a lot of great guests. It was a very busy day here on the program. We covered a lot of turf, and we'll be back at it with you again tomorrow. But before I go, I wanted to share with you a Bush moment. You recall that in the State of the Union message, the president declared, to the surprise of his oil patch friends, that this nation is addicted to oil. And he said he wanted to do something about it. And in particular, he waxed about the marvels of these alternative energy sources, like ethanol, and some kind of weed grass that he talked about in the State of the Union message. And he came across as sincere and committed to really reducing our dependence on that ugly foreign oil. And then he went out on a PR junket this week to tout his newfound interest in energy independence. And one of his stops was in Golden, Colorado, when he went to the Department of Energy's Renewable Energy Laboratory. And he was a little bit sheepish, because he had to admit, I recognize that there's been some interesting, let me say, mixed signals when it comes to funding. And then he tried to spin it. The issue, of course, is not whether good intentions are met with actual dollars. Part of the issue we face, unfortunately, is that there are sometimes decisions made as a result of the appropriations process where money may not end up where it is supposed to have gone. Well, the day after the State of the Union message, the Alternative Energy Laboratory announced that a $28 million budget cut was forcing it to lay off its researchers into ethanol and sawgrass or wheatgrass or anything but marijuana, I guess. This is Peter B. Collins. Do me a favor, listen again tomorrow, right here. San Diego.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. The fallout continues to build as an Arab company prepares to take over operations at six U.S. seaports. The top American executive in the company says the United Arab Emirates is a very solid friend to the U.S., and that his company will do whatever the Bush administration wants to ensure that the ports remain secure. The Associated Press reports the administration secretly required that company to cooperate with future U.S. investigations before approving any takeover. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller tells us that the president learned about the deal the same way most Americans did.
It was only in the last few days that President Bush learned of the port deal from the press, the same for most members of Congress. In a rare admission, spokesman Scott McClellan says that might have been a mistake.
I mean, in hindsight, when you look at this and the coverage that it's received and the false impression that is left with some, we probably should have briefed members of Congress about it sooner.
McClellan says the president went back to every cabinet secretary whose department approved the deal, and each said they were comfortable with it. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
A Marine staff sergeant is found not guilty of negligence in the drowning death of a recruit. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula.
The not guilty verdict in Staff Sergeant Nadia Lopez's court-martial left Jason Tharp's parents shaking with anger. Lopez understood why.
Of course, they lost their son. I'd be upset if I lost mine.
19-year-old Marine recruit Jason Sharp drowned a year ago during combat water survival training. Lopez's drill instructor was less than arm's length away at the time. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Paris Island, South Carolina.
The winners of that huge Powerball jackpot are just getting used to their new status.
It's still a blur, and we're still thinking we're going to wake up from a dream or something, and it's not all true.
Chastity Rutgens and seven co-workers will each get a lump sum of about $15.5 million after taxes.
I just want to make sure that it lasts me the rest of my life so that I don't have to return to work because I'm broke.
Some of the eight are still going to work at the Conagra Meatpacking Plant in Lincoln, Nebraska, but not Eric Zorn's.
I've been retired for about 4 days now.
Any thoughts of another U.S. Olympic hockey miracle have been put on ice for another 4 years? CBS's Steve Futterman has more from Torino.
It was another one-goal loss for the U.S. team, but this loss sent the team home. The Americans fell behind early.